Welcome back to Corporate Rehab. Hello,
Hey,
Nami.
Michael.
All right, so I will admit, I've been looking forward to recording this one for a while. So in 2018, The Atlantic reported that services, a broad category that includes financial, media, transportation, and technology, accounted for 67% of the US GDP.
That's a big
That's
number.
a huge, way more than I would have anticipated. I mean, we're a service-based economy. I think in heart we know all that, or we all know that, but I think it's one of those things that we don't realize that we are not an industrious economy. We don't, as a country, we don't build a lot of
Yeah,
things.
and you don't sit there and think about this,
Yeah.
right? And at the end of December 2021, DoorDash announced it was reviving its WeDash program, which requires employees, including the CEO, Tony Zhu, to do a dash once a month. This program has existed since the company began in 2013, but was paused temporarily during the pandemic. And MarketWatch reports that in 2018, DoorDash decided to make the program a philanthropic effort, donating the money from the dash to efforts ending hunger and food waste. So Business Insider describes the WeDash program as, quote, "the employee's flagship employee slash engagement program, which aims to have workers learn firsthand how the technology products we build empower local economies, which in turn helps us build a better product," end quote.
Yeah. So, I mean, on the surface, Nami, do you think that's, how do you feel about the program
I
with just
love
that
it.
description? I think it's great.
I love it.
So SFGate reports that an engineer with a self-reported total compensation of $400,000 posted to Blind saying, quote, "What the actual fuck? I didn't sign up for this. There was nothing in the offer letter slash job description about this," end quote. So replies on this were pretty split. There were some people, of course, that were agreeing with the engineer, others noting that it could be a great opportunity to understand the many frustrations that a delivery driver may experience.
If someone tasked with participating in the WeDash program is unable to, there are options to participate in other ways, such as shadowing someone in customer service.
So I think it's easy to see here that I think this program has good intentions. I think it has great safeguards built in as far as accessibility goes. So, if someone for, again, whatever reason, maybe in the context of the pandemic, they're immunocompromised. So it's not a great idea for them to go be mingling with strangers. I think in other cases, maybe this person doesn't necessarily drive. I couldn't find the source again, but there was another source that actually talked about you could just shadow a driver. You could just go basically on a ride along with a driver. So they have safeguards built in. So if you have a reason that for whatever reason you can't dash, that you can do something else, but it's still going to give you a more well-rounded experience and understanding of what the service and program is doing. So the response to this, super, super mixed, no matter who is giving their input. So Blind, which we've talked about Blind in a past episode, but I think it's been a while. Blind is an app that allows corporate employees to anonymously post things, but it is vetted. So I believe you have to use your corporate email to sign up. So Blind can actually tell you, yes, this person is real. They don't know that what they're saying is true, but they know that that person works at DoorDash. So Blind shows engineers and employees from other companies such as LinkedIn were really chastising this engineer, hailing the program as a positive. So for those feeling less positive about the program, several issues were raised from being a quote-unquote waste of time to concerns of safety, even one discussing how the program was dangerous and could get someone killed, which I think if you don't have the cognitive dissonance to understand how screwed up that is, I just don't. And again, it's like one, they're not even saying one day a month. It's literally go pick up one meal from Taco Bell, take it to the person, and head back home or to the office or whatever.
Yeah, and I snickered when you said, could get someone killed, not because I think, getting someone killed is funny, but that this is the extreme that someone would even think down to say, if I do a DoorDash, I might get
Which is a job countless people do every
Right,
day.
exactly. which, you know, okay, yeah, let's move on. MarketWatch also had polarizing comments such as, quote, how many times do you see it in the opposite way, though? Some of those delivery drivers are probably wanting to shadow with an engineer or software developer, but can't get a look in yet. You get complaints the other way around. It's here where we find the unevenness in the workforce. Everyone's job is important, end quote. And the responses that you got from this was, everyone is qualified to be a delivery driver, but not everyone is qualified to be an engineer. And delivery driver is a no-skills job, which I do not necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
So another comment, you know, why not make it voluntary or offer time and a half carrots, not sticks? But forcing a software engineer isn't going to make them their program better. Not sure how empathy helps them more efficiently write. Sure, have the C-suite do it, but forcing delivery work is going to lose workers.
Yeah, so one commenter actually offered some advice. Quote, there's a reason pride is the first deadly sin, often called the father of sin. If execs, engineers, and their excessively elevated coworkers can't handle even one day getting their hands dirty in a good cause, fire them and open the door to humbler folk. And it actually goes on to say a little bit more. And this is, again, where I just want to say it's not even one day a month. It's literally one delivery a month. So we're talking maybe 30, 45 minutes a month. So one response to this was, quote, starting at age 14 and until 24, when I got out of university, which I paid for myself, I worked at restaurants, U-Hauls, a liquor store, and house painting jobs. I know what folks go through, and I don't do that again unless I have little choice. I don't need a refresher since I worked my rear off to climb out of the world that I would have had to do these things for a living the rest of my life. So don't call folks prideful, privileged, or whatever as if it's a monolithic group. You assume too much, end quote. Which I included this because, first off, do I think that this person actually paid for university working at restaurants, U-Hauls, liquor store, house painting jobs? No, because actually a couple things here. The phrasing of I got out of university actually leads me to believe this person's not American, because that's not an American phrase.
Hmm.
We don't call it university very often. So it leads me to believe they're either Canadian or even European. If they're Canadian, this holds a little bit more, or I guess depending on how you look at it, but it holds a different weight because Canadians have a more similar system to us with education than the Europeans do. But if this person is from Europe, it's like, sure, you maybe could have done that because a lot of their education is quite free. I think this person absolutely needs a refresher. I think that they're really showing how much they need a refresher. And I think that, you know, when we get to just kind of discussing this, I have a lot of thoughts and things to say. But I think the more someone resists this, the more they probably really need it. Because they're, again, I can't. And so my husband works in tech, and I was asking him, you know, when people talk about engineer, is this a UX thing? Is this just straight up writing code to build the app? And he was kind of saying it typically goes pretty hand in hand. So he did feel like this was actually like a pretty good program. I think he wasn't quite understanding the backlash to it. And, you know, there were other comments. I actually, if you are so inclined, I would check out that MarketWatch article, and we'll, of course, have it in the description. But the comments were really, really wild. And mm-hmm. I couldn't include most of the ones I wanted to because there was just so much.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, well, let's take a quick break and then we will be right back and you'll get our thoughts. The very first thing I want to say is, if we as consumers, because we were just talking about it, it's a super service-based economy. So if we are using any service, that's delivery, fast food, hotel, rideshare, whatever it may be, you're placing value on that service.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think it's quote-unquote bad, If you go to the same McDonald's every week and it gives you terrible service, regardless of what you say about that McDonald's, you are giving it value because you return to it. If you didn't value it, you wouldn't use it. Like, that's just, and you may think or say that you don't value this, this particular thing, but unfortunately your actions speak for themselves. So as a society, we have no choice but to just look at the actions that you take as a person and observe and deal with those. So with things like rideshare services, delivery services growing, we clearly have a societal value placed on those things. So all of that being said, I mean, I can think of like, in LA, we have like five, we have Grubhub, Postmates, DoorDash, Slice, which is like just for pizza.
Okay.
And then, oh, there's another one too that I can't think of, but there are at least five that we have like in that the greater Los Angeles area that like, it's very clear that we do value these types of services. So I think to place those and say that there are no skills involved is the first problem. And you had said you don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is any such thing as a no skill or low skill job. Mm-hmm. If that were the case, the job would not exist. And I think especially for something like DoorDash, driving is a skill. Getting food, you know, to a destination safely and in one piece is a skill. And I just think it's that thing of like, if you don't value it, don't use it. If you think that people at McDonald's don't deserve to be able to pay their bills, don't go to McDonald's. It's not for you. And I say that not only as someone who obviously, you know, started, that was my very first job was McDonald's, but it's just, I am not a different person than I was when I worked there. I have a tiny bit more education than I did then, but I still don't have a degree. That won't be true here in a few weeks, but, you know, I still don't have a degree of any kind. Like a lot of what I learned was just learning like on the job, things like that. Basically people giving me chances. And so I do take a lot of issue with this notion that like some jobs are no skill or low skill. I really hate that. And I'm really glad that you agree with that.
Yeah. And I think there's also just something to be said of there are certain things that regardless of whether you have education or not, you know, like they say, money doesn't buy class, and human decency is something that we should all just have, right? And for you to just kind of look down on someone else because of, you know, you don't respect what they do as a living, like, I think that is pretty, you know, crappy in itself. And also in the same company, when those are the people that's helping you make the money.
Well, and I think that's where I really take a lot of issue is like, because it's not just looking down on them. It's, I mean, in some cases, literally people saying like, you deserve to have to work multiple jobs and, you know, 60 hours a week and whatever, just to like make your bills at the other month, not even have excess because of the jobs that you're in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hear a lot of like, well, McDonald's is a starter job. There's no such thing as a starter job, maybe an internship. But like, there's no minimum wage was not designed for students or for young people. It was literally designed to ensure that no matter what job you did, you would be making enough to live. Mm-hmm. That is by design what minimum wage was meant for. And so the fact that it's changed over time and now we're saying, well, you know, only kids should be working at McDonald's. Well, the McDonald's should only be open after 4 o'clock and on the weekends. Like if who is running these places that are low skill during the day, during the week? And I can tell you from experience, it's adults. Like I when I worked at McDonald's, we had way more adults than we ever had kids. Part of that is labor laws because kids cannot work very much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things they're not allowed to do. And so, you know, hiring adults just made more sense. But then to even further what you're saying, so I understand DoorDashers are not employees. They are independent contractors. They're I-9. I-9, everyone's I-9. They are 1099. But it's the idea of like, yeah, they are the people bringing in the money. Like if, because here's the thing, I don't use DoorDash, but I don't think you pay on pickup, like pay a fee on pickup.
Mm.
I think you only pay your tax. So you're literally relying on the people who are driving around. And so I think, and I will say out of all of the delivery companies, I'm glad it's DoorDash that does this, because DoorDash goes down like every day.
Mm.
I follow DoorDash on Twitter simply to see how often they go down. And it's almost once a day. So here's the other thing, especially as an engineer making $400,000 a year.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you're doing that great of a job either. Like, honestly, because I use Postmates a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had Postmates go down.
Yeah.
I've had so many issues with DoorDash. So I'm glad that DoorDash has this program in place. I actually tweeted at Tony Hsu, and I asked if like he ever planned on sharing his insights after after doing WeDash, and he didn't respond to me, which is fine. He's the CEO, but not that like his time is valuable. It's just that like I understand like that's not something he's probably going to respond to, but it's something I'd be interested in. I would love to hear Tony's thoughts after every WeDash, because I think it would mean a lot in terms of like their overall culture to just see that like he is doing it. And it is a little bit for accountability too. I won't lie, because I think a lot of CEOs lie.
Yeah. And I think going back to the software engineer who, you know, self-reported a total of $400,000
per month. I mean, I believe it.
I think, you know, he reeks of being a millennial. And, you know, I'm a millennial, and this is why we all get a bad rep, because of people like this. And here's something that my 9-year-old understands. We were having issues with Grubhub.
Yeah.
You know, could not get our delivery. It just, the time just went over and over and over. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to cancel the order. I was so mad. You know, you go from that point of being hungry to hangry.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am done. I'm never using Grubhub again. And my 9-year-old son, he goes, it's okay, mommy. You can use Postmates. Okay. This is something that a 9-year-old understands that there are other companies just like yours to replace those services, right? And so you don't have to get your food through DoorDash. You can get it through any other competitors, right? So if a 9-year-old understands this, right, just think about the general economy and you as an engineer who works at this company. Maybe all you really care about is writing code. That's all you care about, being a software engineer. That's it. Which, by the way, this person should not become a manager, right? Because, right, if that's all you're good at and that's all you ever want to do, fine, great gravy. But I would think that from the perspective of, let's say if this person was a person who wanted to eventually go to the top, right? And they want to aim for a C-level role, or if they even want to become just an executive, right? Don't you want to understand how your entire business works? Not just the little part of what you do as a software engineer, but how does that what you do impact the entire ecosystem, like the business itself? And what does it go through to get from you writing that down to, you know, as the person, as a consumer, receiving that food? Like, I would be so curious as to how this all comes together. And I mean, I think it's also because I'm curious by nature and I like looking at big pictures and really understand, okay, here's my role in that. But, you know, this is what the big picture looks like. But I would think, you know, just kind of the arrogance of this person to be like, you know, this does nothing for me. Like, well, yeah, to your point, Michael, like if your app is down every other day or every day, then you are losing your consumers. They are going to another platform. They don't need you.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and then the other guy who talked about, you know, I've already paid my dues. I don't need to do this again. I'm sorry. Times have changed. Things change. Consumers evolve. This whole landscaping is changing so much. And especially with COVID, things have accelerated so much. Things are changing. It's not the same as when you were 14 or 16 or 18, right? Yeah. And for you to think that what you hold true, what was true, you know, 10, 15 years ago still holds true today, I think that's also arrogance.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think that's where, because you're right, actually, we don't know the age of the person that started at age 14 until 24. I guess in my mind, I was thinking they were like probably in their 30s, but we actually don't know. So this actually could just be a baby boomer, and which then makes sense with I was able to work a couple of jobs and pay for college, because that absolutely was a reality at one point in, in history. Been a while. But I think that's really the thing that, that gets me, is because I did do this. I did exactly what this person is saying, is I did work my way literally from, you know, working part-time at McDonald's up through working in marketing for, you know, a major conglomerate. And I have no degree, no formal education, any of that. I mean, I had formal education. I have a high school diploma, but you know, I personally am so grateful for that, because it does change how I deal with things. So I was kind of surprised when you were saying like, oh, this engineer, this $400,000 engineer is clearly a millennial. I didn't get that.
Really?
I think given what I know about tech engineers and people who write code, you're probably not wrong. It's probably, we're probably looking at mid-20s to mid-30s. But I think that's where millennials are such an interesting generation, in that, like, because a lot of us were raised by baby boomers, I think we have some of those views held over, which is just work hard and you'll succeed, because that was a thing for baby boomers. They were able to just, you know, put their, I don't even know what the phrase is, something about your nose on a stone. And but, you know, they were able to work hard, buy a house, stay with one company their entire life. And but that's not a thing anymore. And I remember having to explain that to my dad, which was like, because he kept being like, well, you're moving all over the place. Like, you're never going to build anything. And it's like, they're not offering me anything to build. You know, I saw a TikTok recently. This is slightly off topic, but I saw a TikTok recently where, you know, someone was talking about, as they were leaving and their exit interview, there were a couple of pages that HR was like, oh, we skip over these because, you know, you haven't been with the company for X amount of years. And he said, I'm just curious what's on those. And they're like, oh, this is talking about like pension and things like that. And he was like, okay. And you're asking me like why I'm leaving? Like, because we have a double standard here. You have certain people who qualify for certain things, and then you have other people who don't, but we all work at the same place. And I think to zoom out here, it's very similar with DoorDash. Even though these Dashers are 1099, they're independent contractors. And unfortunately in California, you know, we've really screwed them over in California, because we had the chance to protect them and we didn't. So, you know, places like DoorDash can truly do whatever they want in regards to these contractors and not pay them hardly anything. I think just that tiny bit of humility for those people at the top is really like paramount. And when I worked at McDonald's, I always worked for a corporate McDonald's. I never worked for a franchise. So even though I worked in the restaurants, I worked for like McOpco, which is like the McDonald's operating company. So there aren't very many like corporate owned restaurants in the country, and fewer, I feel like probably every year, but there were little pockets of them all over the country. And I, for some reason, always just ended up working in those. And we actually, whenever there were always like remote or sort of field offices around the country as well. And so when people would get hired in, I don't know if they do this anymore. This was close to like 20 years ago, but when people would get a job in like marketing, so I worked in Indianapolis for a bit. There was an office there, and I remember there were a few people, but I remember one person in particular. There was a guy, he had been hired for marketing, and they actually had to come to the restaurant And I want to say it was for like 3 to 5 days, something like that. And we would train them because it was important for the company to understand this is what it's like working in a restaurant. And it never failed. The very first day, they would always be super enthusiastic, excited to be there because they knew it was temporary. And by the end of the week, if they even made it a whole week, their entire demeanor would change. And I will fully admit, so I was like 20 at the time. So mm-hmm. I probably did not understand the assignment. Mm-hmm. I was probably having them do too much. Because in my mind, I was like, this is a free labor. Like,
yeah.
I'm not wasting this. And their job is to understand what it's like to work here. So they're going to understand. They're going to do yeah. everything. Am I going to haze them? No. But like, does everyone learn how to deck mop within the first week of working at McDonald's? Yes. Because we deck mop several times a day, which is basically like you put water all over the floor, scrub the floor, and then you mop it up with mm-hmm. a mop. And you do that several times a day to keep the restaurant clean, to keep mm-hmm. it safe. And so in my mind, I was like, yeah, well, if you're going to work here, like you're going to learn how to deck mop. Mm-hmm. So I was probably driving some of them away because I think in their mind, it was like, oh, it's going to be cute. I'll, you know, show up, make a sandwich or two and like head out. And in my mind, I was like, no, you're here for like 8 hours. Like you're going to work a shift. So yeah, I remember one guy in particular, he did not seem to like me. And the last day I worked with him, he was only there for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And then he basically was like, yeah, I gotta go. And I was just like, who knows what he had to go do. But yeah. I think he was just tired of me putting him to work.
Well, and I think some people just tend to think with their positions and, you know, their education and whatever it is, that privilege that they have, is that some jobs are beneath you, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think what's crazy is that with DoorDash, you're working, regardless of what your role is in the organization, you're working for a service company, right? And so your end product, quote unquote, is service, right?
Yeah, that's literally all they provide.
Exactly, yeah. Right? And so it just boggles my mind that you wouldn't want to see how that's done, right? And yeah. It's not asking you to do it one day. It is literally one delivery. Doesn't take a whole lot out, but I think there's just a lot to be gained. And so it's just, you know, why are you so close-minded about that?
Yeah, and we've touched on it a couple of times, but I don't know if DoorDash is operating on funding. I don't know if they're public.
I don't know.
Okay, that would have been really good research.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I don't know if they're public. They might be operating on funding, so maybe that $400,000 that person's earning, you know, annually is coming from other, you know, other sources. But I think that's what is like most, to be honest, most offensive to me, is that someone would like dare collect that type of money and then basically tell the people whose backs your work, you know, you're making money off of, like, I am too good to do what you're doing one time a month. That's what blows my mind. It's not even a day. It is literally one dash. And I think that's what was most upsetting to me when I was like really digging into the comments on Blind and about that Market Watch article, because there were a lot worse ones on the Market Watch article. But it's just that notion that like, because you have been given a higher value that, to be frank, is probably pretty arbitrary. I doubt it's really based in much more than like you demanded a number and they found the money somewhere. Like it's not, your life is quite literally not more important than anyone else's. And I think that was like the comment about like, well, this could get someone killed. And there was a comment that went even so far as like, I hope someone gets injured and DoorDash gets sued.
That's
and
crazy.
It's like, but why don't you have that same energy for the people who do this just to like scrape by? Because DoorDash doesn't pay well. They're Dashers. Like they're making maybe $5 to $10 a delivery, and it's not like they can do more than maybe 2 to 3, depending on the city you're in, an hour. And yeah, it might seem like $20 to $30 is a lot of money, but that's not consistent. that is no benefits, none of that is tied in. And so, you know, it's just that it's a huge inequality. And we've talked about that on the podcast before about, you know, I think we are dealing with this in the US of just like this massive inequality between people. But I think to me, this really highlighted that issue because it's two people working toward the common goal, but one person basically thinks that like they contribute at a higher level. And I think that that's always bothered me. And I've even gone as far in just, you know, casual conversation to say things like, well, I think CEOs are useless. I do think CEOs are useless though, because for companies to be so obsessed with the bottom line, but to pay such exorbitant like CEO salaries and leadership salaries, I think if you are a CEO and you are making thousands of percent higher than like your most frontline worker, like I don't know how they sleep at night. I really don't. I don't know how, and I don't even know who the McDonald's CEO is anymore, but I don't know how that person sleeps at night knowing that there are people who are working there 40 plus hours a week and still can't pay their bills. Mm. Like, it just is mind-blowing to me. And the fact that the government has to step in because CEOs and corporations are too selfish. And, you know, and honestly, we started off kind of praising DoorDash on this episode, and I still think it's a good idea. I think that the response really points out issues that we're already dealing with in the U.S.
Yeah. And I did check while you were talking, DoorDash is public. Okay. They went public in 2020.
So they're not getting funding anymore, probably, right?
I mean, it would be if they...
Do you still raise funding after your IPO?
No.
I clearly would. We don't want the tech. No.
But I think we're, you know, one of the things is sometimes people think that they deserve what they deserve, right? Like, there isn't going to be a multimillionaire or a billionaire that you meet that say, I didn't deserve any of my wealth. Like, it's not, you know.
Dolly Parton is the only person I will say that I can think of.
Well, she's not corporate. Let's.
No, but she. Dollywood.
Dolly? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, she owns business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she, and I don't think that if you were to ask Dolly Parton to say, like, Dolly, did you earn all of this on your own? Like, I think she would be very open and be like, no. Like, but my point of bringing up Dolly Parton is the reason Dolly Parton is not a billionaire is because she spends, she tries to spend faster than she makes and actually can't even keep up with that.
So she's an exception,
I am absolutely not saying that she is an I'm just, yeah. There is an example, though. Like, there is someone we can turn to say, right. Like, this is someone who makes crazy money, right. Has a comfortable lifestyle that they wanted. She really did come from nothing.
Right.
She has this comfortable lifestyle. She really, you know, from what I have read, really does take care of the people that work for her.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Dollywood, on a very personal level, like, tries to really be there for her employees. So, you know, I think we tend to give, especially tech CEOs, these kind of passes of like, well, you know, yeah, I don't know. I just...
And I get it, right? But I think, I know what you're saying, yeah. But at the same time, everyone has different... motivators. Everyone has different ambitions, different things drive them. And, you know, if they feel like they were working around the clock, never going to bed, and really worked their business up to a certain point where they're starting to make a lot of money, you know, it's, and I'm not to say, you know, these people didn't work hard, right? I don't know this person personally. I don't know what their journey looks like. And I'm sure that, you know, for people who have, you know, gotten to a certain point in life, I'm sure they put their efforts in, their dues, right? And everyone's going to feel like they put their dues in to get to where they are. I think where it gets to be interesting is, you know, if you are making an obscene amount of money, you know, you're also paying a lot in taxes, right? And so when you...
Are you though?
Yes. I mean... Yes, right. You can be crafty in how you want to pay your taxes, right? But I think for the most part, that's how human nature works when it comes to greed, right? Like you make some, and then you want to make more and make more and make more. And I think that's the conversation of where people are like, well, you can't tell someone to spend their money a different way. You know, because it's their prerogative, it's their money, right? With that said, though, I think, you know, again, pulling it back to what we're talking about, DoorDash, and these people who make a lot of money probably as they work in the corporate office, as they have, you know, jobs that are more, you know, that did require a 4-year plus education outside of, you know, high school, and, you know, they paid probably, again, an obscene amount of money to go to school to learn what they did, right? Because I don't want that to be something that comes off as like we're disregarding that, you know, you took time out to do and pay for your education. And I know you're rolling your eyes, Michael, but
you didn't have to say that. You could have just kept talking.
Yes, yes. But I just had to call you out because I think, you know, I think for me on the other side of it is that, yes, I did go to college for 4 years, right? And I paid a lot of money to go to college. And then I got my MBA, thankfully, through my company at the time. But I did get an MBA. And do I feel like that I should have a starting same marketing position as someone who don't have any degree? No, because then I would be upset.
Sure.
Right?
but I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, I think it's a slightly different issue because, you know, what you're talking about is like merit, which I mm-hmm. think there's absolutely something to that. And I'm not saying that that merit's not a thing. I think what my issue is I think, you know, this highlights a bigger issue, which is, you know, we've talked about multiple times now, which is the inequity here. But I think the issue that I'm having is this is just like, this outrage, I think, comes from the fact that we have allowed corporations to hide salaries and to hide, you know, money wherever they want. And that includes the CEOs and whatever they're doing and the fact that, you know, they get involved politically and then they end up like, you know, making it harder for people to sort of build their way. I think that's what this really highlights to mm-hmm. me is the fact that like it is such a wildly unfair system. And I think mm-hmm. we all know that. And the Venn diagram of people who say like life is unfair, but everyone has the same opportunity. It's a circle. Like those are two things that like they cannot exist in the same world.
Mm-hmm.
It is either life is unfair or everyone has the same opportunities. It cannot be both. And I think we know life is unfair and it sucks, but there are steps to remedy that. And I would just like to see the people who decide these things to take those steps. And we have the example of like Dan Price, who did take that step. And Dan is also really open in saying like, while he makes the same amount, quote unquote, like he still has the most stake in the company because he owns it. As much as I hate to bring him up, Elon Musk is another example of that, where he makes quote unquote minimum wage, but you know, A, he was born rich and his actual money is coming from elsewhere. But also that, you know, he does have a lot of stake in the company.
Yeah. Tony's salary, by the way, in 20...
Oh, Tony.
Yes. Our friend Tony. In 2020, it was a compensation valued at $414 million. He was the second highest paid executive.
For just DoorDash.
Yes.
That's not because they're not a conglomerate or part of a conglomerate. That's so ridiculous. $400 million.
Don't cut out the $14 million because there would be people happy with $14 million
to run a delivery app that spends half of its time down. That's what gets me is like the fact that he is earning so much money. And you know what? Maybe I'm really off base here and I just have had bad experiences with DoorDash. But like, in what world are shareholders looking at DoorDash specifically and saying, yes, you deserve this amount of money despite the fact that your service is down a lot of the time? I mean, hold on. You talk about something. Hold on.
Yes. Sorry. You need a Google.
I need to look at how often I'm looking up Twitter on Twitter.
I think, you know, it's not just his salary, right? Because I think a lot of CEOs get paid a salary really large, right? And you're kind of like, I don't understand. But, you know, it's also the people within the organization. Because, you know, I'm sure there are people who get highly compensated for whatever it is that they do. But there is almost this socioeconomic divide, even within the company, right? Of how, you know, these 1099 drivers, like that these people who are getting paid $400,000 a year think that they can't just go on a 35-minute DoorDash ride because to them it's beneath them. But it's at the end of the day, it is what you are putting out there in the world for consumers to, you know, use as part of service. It's just mind-boggling that you don't want to know more about what it is that you're doing and the impact that you want to make, and just kind of the lack of empathy that people have in general, because, you know, I think it is also people just, yeah, like if some people have 6 to 7 jobs and they still can make they can barely make their ends meet, but, you know, you just cannot simply empathize with that because that's not of your circumstance.
Yeah. So I'm DoorDash Help, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, this is how bad the service, they literally have a Twitter account that is verified that is just for issues, mm-hmm. whether it's delivery issues, app issues. So it's not as often as I thought it was, but I also think they either delete some of these mm-hmm. or they're sometimes in replies, because I definitely feel like I see this more often. But in August of 2021, 3 different days, the app went down completely. The 13th, the 27th, and the 31st. So I pulled that one because that's the most amount of days in 1 month that I saw off mm-hmm. the top. September was twice. November was just once. December of 2021, 2 different times. That is on the timeline that they went down. That does not include the times where I see DoorDashers tweeting at DoorDash saying, hey, the Dasher app is down.
Mm.
And I don't think they include that on DoorDash Help because their Dashers are not customers. So in that capacity. So, you know, I think this is just where I struggle with, like, okay, so you have these exorbitantly paid engineers. The $400 million just blows me away that he is making that much on, again, an app that, I mean, anecdotally, DoorDash also just has terrible customer service. Like, I used DoorDash when it first started, and it has just gotten, I've deleted it and I don't use it anymore. But yeah, I do think it just blows my mind, because out of all of them, I think DoorDash is the worst of them. So the fact that there is this huge issue around these specific people, like, feeling some type of way because they're being asked just to participate in part, it's just so ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
we started this podcast praising DoorDash. Now
I went from saying how much I think Tony Hsu is a great person, and then
now it's questionable.
He makes too much money, and I'm going to continue to tweet at him because I think that's part of it. And this is maybe part of a bigger conversation for another time. I just think that there's a lack of accountability for CEOs. And I think that it stems from, I don't know what it stems from. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get impressed by CEOs. I think they're pointless. I think most of them are completely useless.
I think it's also fair to say, though, not everyone is like you, and that when, you know, you do meet people, right, and you say, like, oh, what's your job? Like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a CEO, right? That holds a certain clout amongst certain types of people, right? And those, I would say... I guess that's why we are where we are in terms of, you know, everyone has different opinions, right? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. But I think though, in general though, you know, we can't talk about, we're not going to be able to solve the wealth disparity. We're not going to be able to get CEOs to take less salary, take less in compensation or anything like that, right? But I think in general, people need to have more empathy, right? Because if you had more understanding of what other people are going through, you know, some of these comments that you see online talking about it, how, you know, someone should get injured because they can then sue DoorDash, or, you know, this could get someone killed. Like, if you had an ounce of empathy, you would have checked yourself before you posted that.
Yeah. No, I do agree with that. One, I think that's where Blind is. So I never got on Blind. When Blind first came out, I was... in the middle of an issue at work where I was not feeling particularly safe or protected from retaliation, and was also actively being retaliated against. So I did not trust Blind because I knew I had to use my corporate email, and I was like, I'm absolutely not doing that. I am not setting myself up for anything to possibly, you know, have this come back in a bad way. And, you know, I was in a very different position, not only mentally, but like my husband and I were living apart because I had moved to LA specifically to work where I was. And so, you know, even at the time, I literally like, I would have been so screwed if I had like lost the job. So some of it was just like survival. But, you know, I just think that, yeah, what you're saying is true. People need more empathy. But I also think that, much like what, you know, we were talking about with the DEI conversation, is that sometimes I think the best way to stimulate change is to point out when people are doing something badly.
I was going to say burn a building.
I did think that when you were saying, well, we can't just ask them to make less money. I was like, but we could take the money. And we don't, obviously, we shouldn't be stealing from people. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, I don't have a problem calling out Tony Hsu and saying, you make way too much money. You make a ridiculous amount of money. $400 million as a salary for a person for a job?
I think it was a compensation, total package. Regardless.
I love the distinction.
Regardless.
It's excessive, though.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he need that? And you're right. It's a lot of it's probably in stock. I get that. And a lot of it is probably stock he can't even sell yet. Get all of that. It's too much. It is. I will dare say unethical for him to be drawing any, whether it's in shares or whatever. I think it's unethical, knowing that he actively was a part of not paying Dashers correctly, which is where their money comes from. Unless their money is coming from, I don't believe they run ads on DoorDash. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, if anything, they are running ads. So like their marketing budget has to be enormous because I get DoorDash ads everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I have no issue calling people out when I think that what they're doing is bad. And I think if you know that the people who are really making your money for you are struggling to pay their bills, but you're drawing any sort of compensation that is exorbitant wealth, like, yeah, I think you're doing bad. And I think that I would go as far as to say, I think you're a bad person.
I mean, unfortunately, that you and I both know from experience, it's, you know, people are not doing this out of the goodness of their hearts.
No, and I get that. I guess I just, I don't know. I don't know where along the line someone gets to the point where they've lost that touch of reality. Because the thing is I don't know anything about Tony Hsu. Was he born into a CEO family? Like, I don't know where these CEOs come from.
He actually, so I was looking it up.
Yeah, was he a founder?
No. Yeah. He and three other guys, okay, I think, founded the company. But his parents, I guess, came from China. And
yes,
his mom was a doctor in China. But when she came to the U.S.
Couldn't be a doctor anymore.
Yeah. And so she actually owned a restaurant for a little bit, or worked at a restaurant or something like that.
And his first thought was, hey, how could I screw this place over more?
I am just telling you the story.
DoorDash is only good for DoorDash. It's not good for restaurants. Yeah. It's not good for the Dashers. So that's kind of, I would just say it surprises me because, I mean, people, a lot of small restaurants around here won't work with DoorDash.
I mean, but that's the thing. Like, people don't do business. A lot of people don't start businesses out of the goodness of their hearts. They do it so that they can make money some way, one way, no how, you know? And so I think it's just, and at what point do you say, oh, you're making too much salary? Like, how high is high, right? It's,
right? I think if you, to be honest, I think if you're drawing a salary and you have a single employee who works 40 hours a week and cannot pay their bills, you are drawing too much.
Yeah. See, at least you have a standard to say that's, you know, that's how I feel. If I know that I'm making too much money, if any one of my employees, by working 40 hours a week, they can't pay their bills.
Which is, I think, where Dan Price's philosophy came from.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people don't actually. Well, they don't care. Yeah, and they don't have the same philosophy, right?
I understand that. I just don't understand how they live with it. That's what I, you know what I mean? Like,
you gotta keep asking Tony how that do you live is, with it.
No, truly, like how? And I honestly, we're a small podcast. Tony will never hear this, and that's fine. But given the opportunity, I would love to sit down with any CEO. If you're a CEO and you're listening to this, let us know. I'll be mostly nice, depending on what company you work for and how much money you make. But like, I would just love to know the feeling behind that. Because even, and we're over time, and I apologize, but, I thought you took my phone. That's your phone.
No.
Even where we worked, I made decent money. But living in Los Angeles by myself, I actually could not afford rent and to own a car, which is mind-boggling to me. I was not in an entry-level position. I was in a skilled position. You know what I mean? Like, this was not, I was not a random person off the street. And the fact that I had to basically choose between, like, okay, do I have a car or do I have an apartment? Is ridiculous. And I would love to sit down with anybody who had been a part of really making that decision to just say, explain this to me. And I remember when I talked to somebody in HR about it, and they shot back at me, like, because this was a part of my whole promotion thing, they were like, well, you're turning down more money. And I was just like, that's not the point. The point is you are already underpaying me. And, you know, as part of my promotion, it was going to like triple my work. Like, there was so much to that, that I was just like, well, this is also not the right way to go about it. Like, you should already just be paying me the appropriate amount of money to live where you are requiring me to live.
Yeah. And the previous company that we worked for,
the first one or the second one.
Okay. Their newest CEO, well, not new.
Love her.
Well, her total compensation package is $284
million. She deserves it.
Does she?
I don't know. I do love her, though. No, I love her. I have continued to follow things that she's done. I think she's great. It's excessive. I will say that. It is excessive.
I know for a fact that there are people who work in customer service who need to work second jobs exactly. because they can't pay their bills.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, I think, and there were people like you, right, where you couldn't afford some things because you live in an expensive city, right? And so I think it's just like it is a lot to unpack. You know, if we start getting into, right, do you truly deserve this money? But I mean, bottom line being, though, when we talk about this particular, you know, DoorDash program, I just find it mind-boggling that there are employees who think that what actually provides money for the company is beneath them.
Yeah, I mean, that's their top line, I would have to imagine, is the fees taken off of deliveries, which are high. I mean, they're high fees. And all of the services are Postmate. You pay high fees on all of them. But the other thing is they're also charging the restaurant. They're not paying the Dasher very much. So, and to be honest, what value does DoorDash as a company actually offer? Not much. Mm-hmm. Especially given that we have Postmates, Grubhub, there's a million, and there's more of these apps popping up all the time. So none of them seem to be great for anybody. So it's like, where does, you know, how do these keep getting, I don't know. You're right. This is not the episode I thought we were going to like go this far over time on. Do you have anything else? I'm done.
I'm just going
to keep, because here's the thing. I don't ever plan on working in a corporate environment again. Mm-hmm. I think you still want to get a job someday.
Someday, so, yeah. One day.
So like, I also, you know, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for, Nami? Not preface, because we've already had the conversation. The disclaimer, though, would be that, like, obviously we just have our own feelings.
And yeah, of course.
I think I am much further maybe one way than you are. But partially because, you know, I think I've just... I don't know. I mean, we're in my neighborhood right now. There's so many tents.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... 400... Oh my God, yes. It's very upsetting to me.
No, it is. And I think, you know, different experiences shape us. I mean, obviously, the inequality is astounding, especially the amount of tents that have popped up in the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Eye-opening, right? You knew homelessness always existed, but this is just next level,
I
right?
mean, my neighborhood has totally... My neighborhood used to be not... It was never like a party neighborhood, but it was a very lively neighborhood, mm-hmm. and it has totally changed. Yeah. It is not like that at all mm-hmm. anymore. And it's becoming a bit of a tent city, which I know a lot of people would say, like, oh, there's LA. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care. I still think it's wrong. And I love LA, and I am very active in trying to lessen that disparity, I guess. But like, it's been really hard the last couple of years watching what has happened to LA. And I only lived here about 6 months before COVID really hit.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that time, I think back to like, the first 6 months I lived here, and every night I would get off the bus I would take to Calabasas because I couldn't afford a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be with, you know, 15, 20 other people walking around the neighborhood. Now it's like there's nobody out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I think those changes are jarring, right? Like it's just so many changes in such a short amount of time. And a lot of that also has to do with the fact that the wealth gap in this country is growing. And that's also very obvious, too. But I mean, I guess to kind of wrap that all up though, is, right? And we talked about a lot of different issues. Yeah. But I think for a lot of people though, don't forget where you came from, right? I mean, maybe you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, which then great, good for you. Then, you know, try to have some empathy, right? You know, don't automatically look down on someone's occupation and think that you're above that, right?
Yeah. All right. We have time. We're so far over time. Okay, well, thank you, Nami. This was a good discussion. Way more than I thought we were going to get into. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Corporate Rehab Pod, on Instagram at Corporate Rehab Pod. And that will have more real-time thoughts and reactions. Please leave us a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry this episode was so long, but I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Nami.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.